Good morning, everyone. As we get ready for our sermon on today, God's favorite work. Again, want to thank Kat for this great artist rendition of our title slide, something that I could probably never do. But that's Rembrandt. Yes, but that's Rembrandt. But this is Esther. This is Kat, right? God's favorite at work. Thank you so much for putting that together. And Pastor Dwayne described it last week, as you can look at the picture and see, you know, what Rembrandt put in the background, but we see faint pictures of God being at work in these words that you can barely read, but we know that God's at work in our lives. I said it in my prayer just now. The mere fact that we woke up this morning lets us know that God has blessed us. Amen? The mere fact that we got out of the bed, and not everyone who laid down last night was able to do that. And so we're experiencing God's favor even right now in our lives. Going into this sermon series, I wanted to look up a definition for the word favor. And I looked it up earlier in the week and wanted to really ponder and see if that's what I wanted to share this morning. Listen, if you're taking notes, this is what this definition that I had said. It said that God's favor happens when God gives us the ability to do something which humanly is impossible to do. That God's favor describes something that we're doing in our lives that if it was up to us under our human power, under our human capabilities, we'd never be able to do it. And that's where God's favor comes into play. And we're going to see it in chapter 1 on today as we think about this, because we're not actually going to talk about Esther per se in chapter 1, but we're going to talk about the king, King Xerxes at the time. And as a title, I just like to use the title of who's the king. And so you go in chapter 1, and as you read through it, and we're going to read through certain portions of it, and you'll see it's a King Xerxes and King Xerxes and the king and the king and the king. And unfortunately, all the highlight is put on that king. But there's a king who's above that king, that in the grand scheme of things, and when you think about the universe and creation and everything that's going on in the world, chapter one's going to talk about King Xerxes, but really the true king that we need to focus upon is God himself. And unfortunately, we're going to see in King Xerxes' situation that Xerxes finds himself kind of pointing all the glory to himself and kind of taking all of the shine for himself and actually trying to be the star of the show. Actually doing a little background work, you look at the name Esther, and in the old Persian name of Esther, it actually refers to her being a star. It actually refers to her being a star, and we know that stars shine light there, that stars bring light to a dark situation. And throughout the book of Esther, you see a dark situation where God's people are going to be annihilated. And in the midst of that, we see Esther as a star shining bright and actually saving the people of God, using the favor of God for the people that were connected to her. And throughout this entire series, as we go from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 10, hopefully you'll remember what Pastor Dwayne said last week. What I'm going to say today is that God doesn't give us favor to just keep for ourselves. He gives us favor and he gives us blessings and he bestows things into our lives so that we can actually help those that are around us. Y'all remember that passage last week Pastor Dwayne shared about the man who had all of the riches, and he had the barn full of riches, and he said that, you know, he would take his riches and he would actually give it to other people because they needed his riches. Nobody's going to correct me on what I'm saying. Thank you, Vivian, for shaking your head. No. The Bible say that he said, not only will I take the riches that I have, but I'm going to build bigger barns so that I can store more stuff in those barns, and I'm going to take all the favor and all the blessings that I have, and I'm going to keep it for myself. And the Bible says, on that day, the Lord says, you're going to die. You fool, you're going to die because of all of this stuff that you're trying to keep for yourself. And then who's going to spend all of this stuff? Who's going to partake in all of this stuff? Because you won't be around anymore. The favor that God gives to you is not simply for you. It's for those you're connected with as well. So when blessings come into your life through this series, as you see God working in your life and bringing things into your life, remember Pastor Dwayne and Pastor Dalen said that the blessings that God gives to me, the favor that God gives in my life, the grace and the mercy that he shows to me, and all of those things that he gives to me are not for me to keep for myself, but is actually to spread to other people. Unfortunately, chapter one, this king does not do that. And so Esther's not talked about in chapter one, but King Xerxes is talked about. And the thing that I want us to remember, if you're taking notes, we're going to have 3 points on today. These three points are going to help us get through this first chapter of Esther. If you're taking notes, the first thing I want you to remember today, Mr. Tony, go to the next slide. We have to remember who put you where you are. In life, there comes a point where some people think that they've gotten where they are of their own accord. They think they've gotten where they are because of maybe their background or their family or something that they've done that's so grand and magnanimous, but really we all need to remember who has put us where we are, and ironically, that's God himself. That if you're, I'm gonna share and go a little bit more into this later, that if you're experiencing good things in your life, it's because of God. Uh-oh, here we go. If you find yourself in a valley and you may be in a bad situation in your life, maybe it's because God's allowed you to get in that place so that he could do something in your life. See, that's not popular preaching right now because everybody wants Pastor Taylor to stay on the mountaintop, talk about the good things, that yes, I believe that God put me where I am when everything's going good, when the money's good, when school's going fine, when my plans for the future are going good, then yes, amen, hallelujah, praise God, everything is good. But what happens whenever we get in the valley and in the bad times of life? Can you still sing that song that we say today? Hallelujah, hallelujah, you're sufficient for today. That we sang that song today because they talk about your mercy and your favor that is sufficient for today. When the storms come and when the difficult times come, God is still sufficient for today. But unfortunately, this first point, King Xerxes didn't remember who put him where he was. Look at what the Bible says. It said, this is what happened during the time of Xerxes, the Xerxes who ruled over 127 provinces. Stop. I got to break protocol real quick. Anybody saw the movie 300? I'm about to put myself out there because I really love the movie. Even though it's a silly movie, Jonathan, that people are fighting without shirts on and they're showing their muscles and they're going into battle and they're swinging swords and everything, and you're like, well, that's not much armor. How are you going to protect yourself if you go into battle? But it was a great movie because it talked about King Xerxes that was trying to take over Greece and take over all of the Greek people and how they fought against him. And unfortunately, in Esther, there are times where you look at Xerxes and you say, oh, he's a pretty good dude. He passed his decree and he didn't kill God's people and he married Esther and everything was okay. But Xerxes was a bad person. And Xerxes was a bad man. It says that this is the Xerxes who ruled over 127 provinces stretching from India to Kush. And at that time, King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel Susa. And in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles and his officials, the military leaders of Persia and Media, the princes and the nobles of the provinces were present. Whenever you look at the movie 300, there's times where they show them having a party and they have all kind of alcohol and all kind of debauchery going on. And Xerxes is sitting on the throne. And actually in the movie, they call him a god. In the movie, and in tradition, he thought of himself as a god and that he couldn't be conquered and that he was going to rule the world. And unfortunately, right after this, they end up losing to the Greek and he's killed and he's deposed. But at this time, everything is good. And Xerxes didn't remember who put him where he was. Somebody may say, Pastor Taylor, did God put Xerxes in that place? You say, well, in politics, did God allow certain presidents to get in place? Because if God didn't want them in place, Thank you, Miss Evelyn. They wouldn't be in place. So Xerxes was in this position, and he find himself in this 180-day party where they're going through what the leaders are going through, all kind of alcohol and all kind of foolishness, and they're going through all of this. And again, Xerxes is showing pride. Do you guys know what got Satan kicked out of heaven? That the sin that got Satan kicked out of heaven was, he said this: I'm going to be like the Most High God. I'm going to be like Jehovah. I'm going to be like God, and I'm going to put my throne up there with him. I'm going to arrogantly think that I can take God's place. And the Bible says that Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven because of pride. And we see pride on display right here, because Xerxes didn't remember who put him where he was, or who allowed him to get in this position. Listen, it wasn't because of his daddy, Darius. It wasn't because of his intellect. It wasn't because he was so magnificent. No, it was because of God. And we can stop here and say, man, Xerxes, he just didn't understand where God had put him. But I have a question for all of us. What about us? Where do we find ourselves today where we may not be realizing, like, the only reason why I'm here, let me testify, the only reason why I'm alive today standing before you all is because of the Lord. That there are people that I went to school with, or that I grew up with back home, people that I met here in New Orleans that are either dead or in jail, or they're not saved, or they don't know the Lord. And I find myself here, listen, not because Pearl and Joe raised me so well, even though that was good. Not because I did good in school, even though that was good. Not because I was so beautiful or whatever. It's only because of the grace of God. And when I think about that, and when I reflect on that the only reason why I'm where I am is because of the grace of God, it should make me want to tell other people about the grace of God. People say, oh, Pastor Taylor, you didn't go through, you never been arrested, and you never been in any serious trouble, so you must be an awesome person. And in my head, whenever people say things like that, I always say, if they only knew what was in my head. They can only look in this big bald head and see the crazy things that go on in this head. They will say, oh, no, you're not that good of a person. But listen, because of the grace of God, and because of the mercy of God, I remember, I know where I am. And if you find yourself in a place where you are on a high pedestal, or God has blessed you with a bunch of things, or you're in leadership over a whole bunch of people, please remember who put you where you are, because the same person who put you where you are can take you down from that place. That I went to school, I went to medical school with certain people that would always flaunt about their intellect or their money or their skill in the lab and all that other stuff. And certain number of them, they got into this phase where they thought they were all that. And then all of a sudden, life turned and a disease would come, or finances got crazy, or they got addicted to something. And the same person that was bragging about being up there found themselves down there. Listen, because they didn't give glory to God when they were up there. And people will say, well, like, that's other people, Pastor Taylor. That's not going to happen to me, but it happens to all of us. Healthy today and you look around and a disease comes, or you're financially stable today and you look around and then you're bankrupt, or the relationship is going okay today, but then you look around and they found somebody that looks prettier than you, and then you say, how could they leave me? I'm so beautiful. I don't know how they left me, but they left you. And the same God, listen, that took care of you in that relationship when the finances were good, whenever everything was going good on your job, is the same God that will take care of you when all of that stuff falls apart. We need to remember who put us where we are, because again, in the good, God did it. In the bad, he allowed it. But in all of it, he's working it together for his glory and for our good. And so this king, Xerxes, he's going through this party right here, and he didn't remember who put him where he was. And you would think that, okay, this is enough. They've done enough. But the Bible goes on to say after that, look, in the second part, if you're taking notes, talking about moderation mattering, you're not going to see moderation in what we're talking about. let me give a definition. Moderation is not excess. Moderation is doing things where you're not excessive or you're not going overboard, and you're going to see things going overboard right here. Look at what the Bible says. For a full 180 days, that's 6 months. Anybody else been to a party that lasted 180 days? And the Bible said this. For a full 180 days, he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and splendor and glory of his majesty. That's not enough. Listen, this was for all of the leaders. Then after that, when those days were over, the king gave a banquet that lasted 7 more days in the enclosed garden of the king's palace. And this was for all the people, not just the leaders, everyone from the least to the greatest who were in the citadel of Susa. The garden had hangings of white and blue linen, fastened with cords of white linen and purple material to silver rings on marble pillars. There were couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. Is that enough? No, he's still gone. Okay. Wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other, and the royal wine was abundant. This is not cheap wine. This is the good stuff. Royal wine was in abundance, in keeping with the king's liberality. By the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink with no restrictions, for the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. That in this position of favor that Xerxes found himself in, he wasn't trying to be moderate at all. He wasn't trying to hold back anything. He was like, let the alcohol flow. Let the foolishness happen. Let whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. Not only for the 180 days for the leaders, but for the 7 days for everyone else. Xerxes was saying this. Look at me. Look at what I can do. I want everyone to have their eyes on me. And anytime we fall in that category of having everyone's eyes on us, listen, that really is idolatry, because everyone's eyes should be on the Lord. And so if you're living a life to where people always have to look at you, or you're always the center of attention, or you always need people to affirm you, then you may find yourself in Xerxes' position. And moderation isn't mattering to him right here. Go to that next slide, Mr. Tony. I may be able to get it. The next one after that. That's it. Look at what it says. On the seventh day, when King Xerxes was in high spirits from wine. Anybody want to translate that and let me know what that means? You know, the Bible is hard to understand sometimes. And when you read things like that, you're like, high spirits? Was he worshiping God? I don't understand. Was he really excited? And thank you, Mr. Tone. He was drunk. On the seventh day, when King Xerxes was drunk, he commanded the 7 eunuchs who served him, Mehuman, Bester, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zithar, and Carcass, to bring before him Queen Vashti. This is not going to be good. He's drunk already. Bring before him Queen Vashti, wearing her royal crown, in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles, for she was lovely to look at. But when the attendants delivered the king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. Then the king became furious and burned with anger. This is not a good situation. You're talking about moderation mattering. And I'm just going to put this out here, about to talk about this. People be like, you in church, Pastor Taylor, you shouldn't talk about this. It's not wrong to drink alcohol. Okay, I got a couple of amens. Miss Evelyn and Miss Francis. It's not wrong to drink alcohol. The Bible says this, be not drunk with wine, which is excess. It says, don't get to the point where you're in high spirits because you're drinking too much, because moderation really matters no matter where you find yourself in life. And if you're not being moderate with alcohol and you get in a situation where you're in high spirits, then you're going to make bad choices. And so I tell people this all the time. There's nothing wrong with drinking alcohol, and it's okay for us to drink alcohol, but some people should never drink alcohol at all. That there are some people that the mere taste of alcohol sends them over the edge, or you may think that you're okay, and then you find yourself making bad choices, or you're hanging out with friends and everybody else is drinking, so I'm gonna drink with them just to be the life of the party, and I don't wanna be a Debbie Downer. But then the next day you think about it and you say, the choices that I made, I wouldn't have made if I wouldn't have been drinking, because again, moderation matters. So if you find yourself in a situation where you're drinking or you're partaking in alcohol, hopefully it's not 187 days like we see in the Bible here. But if you find yourself in that situation, remember Pastor Taylor said, moderation matters. Also remember Pastor Taylor said, sometimes you just push it away and don't drink at all. It's funny, when I was, I'm keep on going back to school, when I was at Xavier, and even when I was at Tulane, that it came a point where I understood that I had to stop drinking, because I could drink a fifth of, you know what people know what a fifth is. I could drink a fifth of vodka and still be ready to go, and I could work out, and I could do, and I'm like, oh, that's not right. That's not good for the liver. There's something wrong that's gonna happen to my body if I keep doing this. And then I started seeing people that I was drinking with that were getting in accidents or that were being hospitalized. And then I realized that even though I can do this, that is probably not a good idea, I need to stop it altogether. And so I stopped. I wasn't even moderate about it. I stopped doing it because I understood that it wasn't healthy for me. That was my quick tangent, my vent, sharing with you all. If there's anything in your life where you find that it's destroying you or destroying other people around you, you probably shouldn't be engaged in that thing, because moderation truly does matter. Listen, I'm not just talking about alcohol, because he made a bad decision right here, but I'm talking about we need to be moderate in the way that we live our lives. Here we go. We need to be moderate about the attire that we wear in public. I'm meddling today, Brian. Sorry, I have to. I was in the gym the other day, and a young lady and even a guy walked in, and the guy's shorts were so tight. Y'all thought I was about to talk about the girl for a time. No, I'm talking about the guy. The guy's shorts were so tight. There was nothing moderate about what he had on. In terms of him walking around the gym and getting everyone's attention, and some people want to do that to draw attention to themselves. I'll say this, saints of God, as followers of Christ, we need to make sure that the way that we dress ourselves, the way that we clothe ourselves, we're not causing other people to stumble or fall who may be saved or not saved, because again, moderation matters. Pastor Taylor, don't talk about it. Just leave it alone. Let people wear whatever they want to wear, drink whatever they want to drink, say what they want to say, sleep with whoever they want to sleep with. I told you I'm meddling today. I'm meddling today because moderation matters even in terms of affection and in terms of sex. The Bible says this, that sex should only be taking place between a... Thank you. That we live in a society right now to say that, well, I can't marry Jelly. Well, y'all shouldn't get married, Pastor Taylor, until you guys actually go ahead and have intercourse to see if you fit together. And I have friends that say that, well, I'm gonna date this person for so long and see if we're gonna make it, because we don't know if we'll be able to cohabitate together. So we need to live together and sleep together and do things that a married couple does together so that we can see if we're gonna get married. And unfortunately, a lot of times that what happens with that is they end up marrying somebody else. I said I was gonna meddle. I'm done. Moderation matters, and right here we see King Xerxes not being moderate, being in excess, makes a bad decision, and look at what the Bible says. It says he wants to bring before him Queen Vashti wearing her royal crown. You look at the background and you start doing study, and what the tradition think is this: they wanted her to come before him with only her crown on. No clothing, just her royal crown, in order to display her beauty to the people. One of the commentaries that I read said that there was a competition going on, and they were trying to decide who had the most beautiful wives in all of the country and all of the countryside. And so at that point, Queen Vashti, who was a beautiful person, King Xerxes wanted to put her before everybody to show everybody, look at what I have, look at what God has given to me. But he wanted her to do it in a way that didn't honor her. That in a way that demeaned her, in a way that made her look bad in front of other people. And at that point, Queen Vashti say, nope, not today. Not today, sir. Queen Vashti actually had her own party going on because, again, she wasn't going to put herself before the king or anyone else in this situation. Listen, last thing I want you to remember in terms of favor. Don't squander the favor that God's given to you. Because that's what he did right here. That's what King Xerxes did in terms of wanting to bring her before all of these people and show off what he had. It's funny, whenever, use Jelly for an example again, when we started dating, part of her name means queen. Correct me if I'm wrong. Which one of your names means queen? She has 10,000 names, so that's why. Enemfumu. Enemfumu means queen. And she told me that it means queen, and so I started calling her queen, and in my phone, she's queen, and she calls me king, and Dwayne kind of made fun of me a couple of weeks ago because he saw when you called, and he was like, you got your wife as queen in your phone? I said, yeah, she's the queen. She's my queen. Her name means queen, so she's the queen, and I'm the king. And in terms of favor, the Bible says this, he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So for those of us that are married, we have to understand that the favor that God has given to us is attached to the wives that he's given to us, men, the wives that he's given to us. And King Xerxes, unfortunately, threw away his favor at this point because he was taking bad advice from other people. That he went to these other people, he said, and Memucan replied in the presence of the king, and he said, Queen Vashti has done wrong. Who did wrong? Think about the story. Who did wrong? The queen or the king by asking her to come before everyone with just her crown on? No. He says, Queen Vashti has done wrong not only against the king, but also against all the nobles and the people of all the provinces of King Xerxes, for the queen's conduct will become known to all the women. Oh, can't do that. So they would despise their husbands and say, King Xerxes commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, but she would not come. This very day, the Persian Median women of the nobility who have heard about the queen's conduct will respond to all the king's nobles in the same way. There will be no end of disrespect and discord. Last part says this. Therefore, if it pleases the king, go back one, Mr. Tony. Therefore, if it pleases the king, let him issue a royal decree and let it be written in the law of Persia and Media, which cannot be repealed. Listen to this. That Vashti is never, y'all know what never means? That Vashti is never again to enter the presence of King Xerxes. Did he say never? Not a trial period, not 1 month suspension, not a little time. Never to enter the presence of King Xerxes, and let the king give a royal position to someone else who is better than she. Then when the king's edict is proclaimed throughout all his vast realm, all the women will respect their husbands from the least to the greatest. And the king and his nobles were pleased with this advice. So the king did as Memucan proposed. He sent dispatches to all parts of the kingdom, to each province in its own script, and to each people in their own language, proclaiming that every man should be ruler over his own household using his native tongue. It's something that hopefully all of us will get from this passage. You got to be careful of who you let speak into your life. That we seek wisdom from others, and God's connected us even with brothers and sisters in Christ that he's put in our lives. But even in getting advice from other people, we need to be praying about that advice that we give, because this advice seemed like it was a wise thing to King Xerxes at this time, until you get to chapter 2. And you get to chapter 2, and chapter 2 starts out like this. So funny. It says, "And King Xerxes remembered Vashti," period. I bet he did. VeggieTales? Any VeggieTales fans in here? You look at the VeggieTales rendition of this, and in VeggieTales, the king wanted a sandwich. 3 o'clock in the morning, they go to get her to make the sandwich. She doesn't make the sandwich. They kick her out, and then the king said this to the person that kicked her out: "You make me a sandwich." And so he's missing his wife, who was supposed to make the sandwich, and that's kind of a funny thing. But that's basically what happens right here. Is this advice that they gave to him that made him squander his favor, caused him to make a bad choice because he was high in spirits and because his pride was bruised and because he was the king and he wasn't looking to the true king, and he got rid of his favor, and then later on there were consequences? It's good to know. Let me go ahead and share this with you before I say the next thing. It's good to know that even when we make bad choices in our life, that if we'll turn back to God and repent, God will still bless us. Anybody else experience that? That maybe there was a bad decision, or maybe something that you did to maybe squander your favor at a job or with family members or with friends or this relationship that you had. And in the midst of that, if we realize the bad thing that we've done and we realize how we got rid of what God has given to us and ask him to forgive us, some kind of way God will still bless us in the future, but there are still consequences. Because guess who's not coming back? Vashti's not coming back. That the favor that he had with Vashti, it's squandered. It's gone forever because Xerxes listened to what these other people said about his wife, about what God had given to him, about the favor that he had, and he made a choice off of what they said. And so all of us, if you haven't realized this, all of us find ourselves in a position of favor in our lives. That with your family, you have favor with your family. On your job, where you work, where none of us are, you have favor at your job. At school, where you guys find yourself, in your class, amongst your classmates who probably never stepped foot into a church or never listened to anything about the Bible or don't want to have anything to do with God, y'all have favor amongst them as their colleagues. And in those positions where we find ourselves, we need to pray and ask God, "God, how do you want me to use the favor that you've given to me? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to share with? Who do you want me to spend time with? Who do you want me to encourage, God? Who do you want me to help so they can see who you are and so that they can experience your favor in their lives as well?" But if we're not careful, we'll squander the favor that God has given to us. That there are certain family members that we're connected with and certain associates that we have and there are certain connections that we have that if we're not careful throughout the course of our lives or the course of weeks to come or months to come or years to come, it's just a relationship, and we never really see, why am I in this person's life? Why, God, do you have me in this place? Why have you connected me with this person that if it was up to me, I would never talk to or I never would have interacted with, but for some reason, you've given me favor in their life, and because of that, I'm not going to squander it. And Xerxes didn't use God's favor. Listen, to make good decisions. He didn't use God's favor to help other people. Listen, he didn't do what God wanted him to do with the favor that he gave to him, but we can. God gives us these examples in the Bible so that we can see what other people did, that this person who probably wasn't saved, Xerxes, probably wasn't a follower of God, probably didn't know anything about the true God, but in this position of favor, he thought about himself and not anyone else, and we can change that around in our lives. If we find ourselves in a position where we're thinking about ourselves more than other people, then that's why you're here today. So that you can hear God speak to you and say, the reason why I've blessed you to be here, the reason why I've put you in this person's life, I'm talking about followers of Jesus Christ right now. The reason why I've put you in this person's life who may not know Christ, or in the position of this person who you see at the gym all the time, or you run into them at Costco all the time, or you see them at the hair salon all the time, not me. Barrington this morning said, "What happened to your hair?" I told him I got old. I actually gave him the spill. I said, "I got old while I was in school, while I was at Tulane, it started coming out, so I cut it off." And he said, "My daddy's old, but he got hair." Out of the mouth of babes. Listen, God, why have you put me in this position with this person? Why have you made this connection? What do you want me to do? Because if you didn't know it, the reason why you're here today and why you're alive is because God has something for you to do. If God was through with you, and if your plan, your purpose here on earth was done, God would say, "Oh, come on and be with me." I don't care if you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, you're in your 40s like me. I don't care if you're in your 70s or 80s. When the Lord say, "That's it, it's time to go," it's time to go. But all of us are here today and listening to this message, listening Pastor Taylor say, "God's given me favor to be here today and to be connected to certain people, not so that I can boast about it or flaunt it in front of people like Xerxes did, is so I can help other people." And the thing we need to help them with more than anything is pointing them to Jesus Christ. Social work is good. Getting them food is good. Getting them on programs is good. Making sure that they're not starving or not going through any kind of difficulties in this life is good. But this life is minuscule compared to eternity and life to come. And God's left us here and given us his favor so that we can tell them there is a Savior. And his name is Jesus. And the favor that he's given to us as his children, you can experience it too. This first chapter, again, Esther's not mentioned in this first chapter at all, but the king, King Xerxes, is truly not the king. That the true king, God, again, is at work, even in this first chapter, orchestrating things and putting things together. And in your life, as we get ready to conclude on this morning, I want you to realize this as well. If something else is in your life ahead of the Lord, that if you take more pleasure in something else over the Lord, that may be your king. And if that's your king, you have to ask yourself, can this king get me to heaven one day? Can this relationship get me to heaven? Can this addiction get me to heaven? Can whatever this thing is that's serving as the king of my life get me to eternal life? And the answer to that is no. Today is the day to make Jesus your king and to serve him as the king of your life so that we don't end up like Xerxes, bringing glory to ourselves. Y'all know that the movie 300 is a real story, right? The Persians went against the Greeks, and they were trying to conquer them, and they were eventually destroyed, and then the Greeks, they came into power, and they were eventually destroyed and everything. But Xerxes, the god king, was not a true king because he was destroyed. And so in all of our lives, who's the title of this sermon? Who's the king? God's the king. And we need to make sure that that's the fact in our lives as well. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for you being our king. Now, we know that the world brings different things our way to try to get our attention off of you. But God, on this morning, we turn and we look to you, not only for today, because you are sufficient for today, but for eternity as well. I thank you for speaking to our hearts, God, in matters where we need to have moderation. We pray for wisdom. God, in areas where we may be wasting the favor that you gave to us, we pray that you will give us insight. God, help us to remember that you have placed us where we are today. This week, as we go our separate ways, we find ourselves in different situations. Help us to show people who you are and just how great you are, how good you've been in our lives. and how good you can be in their lives as well. God, we thank you for another day where we can worship you and praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen, amen and amen.